Welcome to each and every one of you that's with us, and if you're visiting with us, we're grateful that you are here with us this morning. So, let's get started. But first, look forward to hearing Ron's lesson this evening. And in passing, just before services started, he said something about locking the doors when you got in here tonight. So, hopefully not, but anyway, most of you that have been here when I've gotten up here and given a lesson know that I don't like to get too terribly far away from my notes because I get into a real uncomfortable zone for me. But this morning I thought I would kind of start off on the side, and that way I can say that at least I've presented some part of a lesson away from my notes. And so this is what you get this morning with me being out here. Over the past few weeks, we have been studying the fruit of the Spirit. And over the past couple weeks, we've had a few men remind us that there are many items that go into that one fruit of the Spirit. You have to have each individual item to have the fruit of the Spirit. So we have to work harder on some of those things to make sure we're continuing to grow and to do the things that we're supposed to be doing. But we need to remember that we need to have each one of those to have the fruit of the Spirit. So this morning, we're going to talk about goodness. And what I would like to do first is I would like to read the passage we've been studying from the past couple weeks. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So as we look at goodness this morning, we want to keep in mind that there is more to goodness than meets the eye. I can tell you right now, Ted, things are not going to come out right. So, okay. What determines the value of something? You know, a child may think that a quarter is worth more than a dollar bill because it's shiny or it's pretty. Or that same child may think that a candy bar is worth more than a $5 bill or a $10 bill because that's what he wants at that particular time. So what really determines value? Again, we all have things that we consider valuable. If our house were to catch on fire, most of us, the first thing we would think about or the first thing we would do is we would run into the house and grab what? Our photos. Things that are valuable to us. Now, those photos of mine that I would grab are more valuable than yours. But they're still valuable to me. Yours are valuable to you. So how do you determine the value of something? During the past few weeks, we have looked at Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and considered the fruit of the Spirit. And we had talked about a lot of valuable things in this fruit, like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. But what about goodness? What do you think of when you think of goodness? I would imagine that each one of us would have a different idea as to what it is today. But today we are going to look at goodness. I'm afraid that people just don't seem to be very committed anymore to the idea of goodness. Whenever the subject of goodness comes up, there are not many who see themselves as not being good. Is it possible that we all could be good, that goodness is very subjective? While love, joy, peace, kindness, those things that we've already looked at, step up to the plate, so to speak. Goodness steps up to the plate and can only hit a single when these others are hitting home runs. To many, goodness is just not considered important or even valuable or desirable today. So people are drawn to goodness in every level of life. You have a good cup of coffee. How about a good dog? How about a good movie with family? How about a person or persons that have good character? And of course, how about a conversation with good friends? You know, goodness is magnetic. You know, when a person is very good, and that's a person of excellence, then people praise him or her. They honor him or her. And they look up to him or her. Sometimes it's hard to explain why something is good. We just know that it is. Very often Christians say, God is good, or the Lord is good. But they just don't say that when everything is good. They say that even in the tough times also, as each and every one of us should. And that's because God's goodness is an essential pillar of Christian faith. Out of God's goodness flows His redemption. All of the goodness that we possess in our lives come from Him. Of all the items of the fruit, for me, as I looked at it, this is one that was the hardest to get a handle on for me. You know, I know that love has many points to it, but goodness seems to speak to the very essence of things. Sometimes we can't explain why something is good. We just know it is because we can taste it, we can see it, and sometimes we can feel it. Also, know that goodness is important because the goodness, as I have said earlier, is magnetic. It attracts people to us through which then they should be attracted to the Lord. So we know God is good, and we know we are called to be good. And so I hope before this morning is over that we realize that goodness is a very valuable an important part of the fruit of the Spirit. So let's define goodness. Goodness can be defined as a life which expresses itself in always doing what is in the best interest of others. In man, it is not a mere positive quality, but the deliberate preference of right to wrong. The firm and persistent resistant of all moral evil, and the choosing and following of all moral good. So to sum it all up, when you look at it, goodness is doing the right thing for the right reason. One of our problems with goodness is the same problem we have with love. The word good is used in so many different ways, just as we use the word love. We love our children. We love apple pie. We love a good sunset. All of these loves are different. And it's just like the word good. We say we had a good meal, or I met a good person, or I had a good cry. All these words are different, aren't they? So, what is goodness? When you think of goodness, what comes to your mind? Do you think of helping others? Do we think of deeds or actions? Does what you do determine if you are a good person Or is there something more to that? So let's look at three things here to begin with. You know, it's just not doing good things. If goodness is just about doing good deeds, almost everyone would be considered as a good person. Even the worst people in history would be considered good because sometime in their life they have done something good. So goodness overlaps kindness in much of its meaning. The tree is good. A tree that is good is productive. In Matthew 7 and verse 17 we read, land that is good is fertile. We read over in Luke 8 and verse 8. A good employer is generous with his workers. Matthew 20 and verse 15. So the sense of this productive generosity, the good tree, the good worker, the good boss, the land that is fertile. So this productive generosity is very similar to kindness. There is more to goodness than what we do. And so let's look a little deeper. So the second thing we want to look at, what is goodness? It is the uprightness and righteousness of the heart and life. Not only does goodness give the thought of excellent or distinguished or honorable, it also includes the idea of being upright or having a righteous heart and a righteous life. What this means is that goodness includes abstaining from everything that has the appearance of evil. An upright life is an honest one, a life that can be admired by almost everyone. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 17, beginning, so every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. True goodness comes from the heart. Like it says about a tree producing good fruit from a bad tree, you can't do that. If you have a bad heart, you cannot produce anything that is going to be good. It's just not there. So true goodness comes from a good heart. Goodness can be defined, as I said a little bit earlier, in the definition that life, which expresses itself in always doing what is in the best interest of others. So I also looked at kindness and goodness kind of overlapped in some things. Sometimes that we don't often think about this, but a part of goodness includes rebuking and correcting and chastening if needed. When we think of kindness, this type of aspect is not thought about in the word kindness. But there are times when, for the benefit of others, that we must rebuke and we must correct and we must chasten. And that comes from the goodness of our heart. We can't do that with a bad heart or a heart that is hateful or spiteful. You cannot make that proper rebuke. So what is goodness? It is also a moral and spiritual excellence. Moral goodness basically means conforming to God's laws and principles. You know, as the Spirit grows in us, we are able to become a better person. So we can then more easily do what is best for other people. You know, Jesus has asked us to do some difficult things sometime. I realize that his yoke is light and it's easy to bear. But in Romans 12, 20 and 21, it says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. How many of us can really think about somebody that has done us wrong? And just not a little bit, but someone that has done a lot of wrong to us. Look at him and go, oh, you're hungry. Let me feed you. bad heart. You can't do that. You have to do that with a good heart. Also, how about if he's thirsty, give him a drink? That'd be a little bit easier than inviting him into your house and feeding him. You can give him a drink, but you still have to have a good heart in order to do that. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As the Spirit grows in you, and as your heart grows in love and patience and joy and all those other things, you will be a different person. So let's look at why goodness is so important. Why should goodness be so important for us to nurture and pursue in our lives? So let's look at another three reasons here. We are created in Christ for good works. Why did God save us? Did he send his son to die for us so we could just live self-indulgent lives? Or were we saved for a higher purpose? Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so we would walk in them." God has a job for us to do. The job is to perform the good works that he has prepared for us. How much of the time do we spend seeking his works versus seeking what we want to do? You know I struggle with the issue of self more than I should. How about you? Do you struggle with that? Are we always working for God and for Christ as we should? One of the ways you grow in Christ is to work for Christ. You will not find fulfillment in life working and serving yourself or serving others. You will find fulfillment only in Christ and his work. So why is goodness important? Number two, we are called to imitate what is good. We are called to be Christ-like. That means that we are to try to imitate Christ in as much and even beyond sometimes what we're capable of doing. 3 John 11, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God." Doing good is something that God wants us to do, but is also something that he expects us to do. So why goodness is important? Number three, we are called to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. This goes back to being Christ-like, back to imitating what is good. When you give your life to Christ, there is a lot that is expected of you. Colossians 1 and verse 10, which was read this morning by Lenny, "So that you will walk in a worthy manner of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." God expects us to be good. He expects us to walk in a worthy manner of the Lord. So who does God consider good? In talking with many people, there did not seem to be a standard for good. You know, people really did not know if they were good, although the majority of them thought they were. And it seemed to be pretty subjective, as I said earlier in the lesson. So I want to look at another three points here so we can understand that maybe a little bit easier. Number one, God is the standard of goodness. How do we know if someone or something is good? What standard do we use to determine what is good? So we go to the standard. Now, I know a lot of you men will understand this, and I think our wives will kind of get a chuckle out of it. How many of us have gone and pulled something out of a box and we're going to put it together because we think we know what we're doing, and all of a sudden we have to go back to the manual. We have to go back to the standard of how to do something right. Well, God is the standard. In Mark 10, in verse 18, Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." God is good, and we need to remember to say that more often. We need to be more confident because God is our standard of good. It is one of the essential pillars of Christian faith. It not only affirms what we believe God is like, but how He deals with us, how He has dealt with us and continues to deal with us through Christ. You know, if we're going to cultivate goodness in our life, we must believe that the Lord is good. We must be able to taste that. We must be able to see that in our own lives, that He is good. When you want to tell if you are good, do not compare yourself to your neighbor or to your friends or to others. You need to compare yourself with God, God alone. God is the author and the standard of goodness, and it doesn't matter how good you are compared to me. You may be better than me, but it really does not matter at all. If God is good, then to be good, you must be a part of His family. Goodness is more than just deeds. It is that uprightness of life and heart that we talked about a little bit earlier. So who does God consider? Who does God consider to be good? The one that keeps God's commandments is good. How do you know if you are good? How do you know if you are following after God? In Matthew 19, starting with verse 16, it said, "And someone came to him and said, 'Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter life, keep the commandments.'" Jesus says that keeping the commandments is obeying God, and God is good. Eternal life is only through obeying those commandments that God has set forth. And number three, who does God consider to be good? The one who uses his talents to glorify God is good. In the parables of the talents, the one slave who was deemed wicked by the master was the one who did not use his talents to glory for his master. The other two were praised for using their talents for the master. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 21, "The master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave,' to the five-talent person. 'You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Also to the one who had received the two talents came up and said, 'Master, you entrusted two talents to me. See, I have gained two more talents.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.'" So, I would think that you would know the question that I was going to be asking right about now. Are you using your talents to glorify God? So let's talk about your goodness and my goodness. Psalms 119 and verse 68, it says there that you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. God's goodness is an aspect of His being. It is also the way He acts. He is good and He does good. Remember, He is the standard that we go by. The same must be true for you and for me. There should be an internal goodness that prompts us to do good. So why don't we look at, real quick, goodness inside and out. inside. If I were to ask you, are you good? You should be able to emphatically say, yes. I'm good because God's goodness has been planted in me. In fact, it has created a whole new me, and I'm growing, and I'm a new creation. That's what you ought to be able to say. Peter calls Christians to love from the heart. As we know, we should love from the heart. You were born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable. A Christian should look at themselves and say, the life of Christ is planted right here in my heart. God's goodness in seed form, and it's growing in power and beauty. So if we looked at ourselves, let's look at our old self right over here. There's nothing good about it. It's selfish. It's sinful. It's very comfortable. And there's not a care in the world. But now we look at our new self over on this side. We're born again. We're Christ-like. And we're full of goodness. And we're happy. So now then, ask yourself, here I am faced with this opportunity to do good in some way or another. I have to show kindness, show patience, friendliness, pity. Which self am I? Am I going to be the old self, a self that you have not changed? You're not going to be growing in goodness. As a matter of fact, you're going to be going backwards. How about the new self? If you are the new self, you are going to be growing in goodness. And your old self is going to be weakened day after day after day as you strive to do what God wants you to do. That is the goodness inside of you. And that is the goodness that is growing in your heart day by day as you follow God's will. So second, let's take a look at goodness outside. You must be good to all things that God has put under your care. You know, God has put part of His creation under your domain. Some a lot, some a little, but yet He's given you some part of it. And you are called to be good to what is under your care. You are to care for it. You are to improve it. You are to look after it. No matter what it is, it's your job to do that. So understand what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the property you have. I'm talking about wealth. I'm talking about houses, animals, talents, opportunities, vocations, and even the people who are put under your care. You are called to be a good steward. It means you are called to take what the Lord has given you and build a good life. Now, this good life is not what Americans today mean by a good life. It's not the two cars. It's not the boat. It's not the special things. It's not all the great stuff. It means building a good life. It means an orderly life, a peaceful life. You do that by making decisions based on God's word. A good life like that is attractive to people and helpful to them. So think about this. If your life was falling apart, who would you go to for help? Would you go to a person whose life is characterized by chaos, by panic, by wild spending and debt, broken relationships, broken promises? Of course, I don't think you would. You would go to a person who has a truly good life, an orderly life, a peaceful life, a happy life. Because knowing that there, you would go to that person because you would know that there would be enough goodness left in their life that they can help you with yours. Good life comes through good stewardship of all things God has given us. Be good to them. God has given them to you. might not have given you as much or the same as other people. But it doesn't really matter, because that's the goodness on the outside. You take care of what you've been given. Number two, you must be good to all sorts of people. Galatians 6 and verse 10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to all those of the household of faith." All kinds of people. In our walk through life, we are going to meet all sorts of people. We're going to meet different races, different religions, different social and economic backgrounds, different moral standards. So you can't say that these aren't my kind. This one's not my kind, this one's my kind. Because God is good to all people. Rain or shine, all people are to be objects of your goodness as opportunity presents itself. That is goodness in any form, and that is the goodness that we've talked about. We've talked about mercy, we've talked about pity, we've talked about friendliness, compassion, love, helpfulness. All those things go into your life. So think about this one last example. When a Christian man is good to his wife, or vice versa, a Christian wife is good to her husband, honors them with love, kindness, patience, sympathy, notice how that goodness overflows to the children, to the people in the workplace, to neighbors, to friends, to people everywhere. That goodness goes everywhere. So in conclusion, let's wrap up this lesson really quick. What about you? Is goodness present and growing in your life? Do you see it on the inside and the outside? Are you a good person? Do you think that there is an objective standard by which we can judge ourselves? Remember, we find our true goodness in Christ. And we can never be good enough on our own. But through Christ, we can be very good. The lesson is yours at this particular time. At the end of every service, we offer an invitation to anyone who's ready to enter into the body of the Christ, into body of Christ, become a child of His. Or for anyone that has a need of our prayers or help in any way, that invitation is open to anyone. And if you're subject to any of those invitations, we invite you to come at this time as we stand and sing.